Hello and welcome to the EDH Reccast. My name is Joey Schultz and I'm joined as always by my fantastic co-hosts. First up, he puts the flawless man in flawless maneuver. That's Matt Morgan.
So I decided on an altar that I want to get. So I want somebody to alter a Savannah for me, but just put me looking kind of handsome on the art. That way when somebody asks about it, I can just say it's me looking pretty outstanding in my field. because I'm standing.
I get it. And I love it. That's delightful, Matt. I really hope that someone commissions that for you very, very soon. Up next, he puts the lawless man in flawless maneuver. That is Dana Roach.
So right now we're in that lull between Double Masters spoilers and the Zendikar Rising spoilers yet to come. So it's time to transition between complaining about too much content to complaining about how we're bored that nothing's happening.
Lull? Did you say a lull? I feel like that's not much of a lull there.
There's going to be 6 to 8 days where we have no new cards coming out. That's plenty, Joey.
Some stuff. It's definitely rapid fire with a lot of products coming out right now. Anyway, I am Joey, and I, by the way, I put the fierce in fierce guardianship. But anyway, this is the EDH Reccast. EDH Rec is the best deck building resource on the web for the commander format, compiling data from deck lists all over the internet to provide helpful recommendations for new commander decks. And here on the podcast, we're going to give all that data a little more context. Fellas, what are we talking about this week?
So we're going to talk about the most versatile commanders as far as how many themes can you pack into one given commander?
Yeah, absolutely. Using our theme pages to see which commanders have the most different directions that you can take them, different build paths available, which should be really cool. But before we get there, we have to give an enormous shout out and thank you to Josh LeQuiet and the folks over there at the Command Zone who do an awesome job with the post-production on the podcast, making it look as spiffy as it does. Really big thanks to them. And of course, we would love to thank our sponsors for the show, too.
Yeah, we'd love to thank our sponsors who help make this show possible. Card Kingdom has an amazing buy list and a great collection of singles. If you want to go buy a Leyline of the Void or Rest in Peace or a Soul Guide Lantern, Card Kingdom has it.
Dana.
We'd also like to thank TCG Player, where you can get any card at any time, any condition, Scavenger Grounds, Bajuka Bog, whatever you need to stop your opponent, they have it in stock. And if you just go to the EDH Rec website, you can click on a link to both of those stores and get whichever one of those cards that shut off graveyards you might need.
Well, and if you want to join the EDH Rec ranks too, maybe you want to write an article about the best grave hate for the format. You can do that now. You can join us. Go to edhrec.com/apply. Pitch your ideas for the best grave hate or the best ways to, you know, board wipe the table or anything like that. Pitch your ideas to us. You know, we're more than happy to hear it. Now you can join the team by going to edhrec.com/apply.
You guys are cruel. Using our sponsorship and awesome plugs to torment my graveyard. That's so mean. That's hilarious, but it's really mean. Don't encourage him, Matt. How dare you?
It takes all kinds, Joey. Everybody has to play their role.
That was amazing. But let's get now to our main topic so that we can stop talking about the graveyard hate. What we want to talk about in this particular episode are, like Matt said, the most versatile commanders. The commanders that have a lot of build paths available to them. And one of the ways that we're going to sort of measure that is by using the theme page option that is available on EDHREC. Before we get to that, though, we might need to explain what the theme pages actually do for EDHREC.
Yeah, well, the theme pages, we like to contextualize all the information. What we do here on the podcast is to help you parse through all the information because, you know, we do throw out a lot out there for people. So what we want to do is we want to give context to that. And one way that we do that is by going to the themes page for any given commander. So on any given commander's page, there's a little section underneath it that shows you how many total decks there are, view it as a commander or a card. But then there, right underneath that is the themes section where you can see any amount of given themes that a commander is being built around. So if you go to the famous Atraxa Praetor's Voice, for example, you'll notice there's a ton of themes, which means it's a pretty open commander as far as how many different ways can you take it, whether it's Planeswalkers and Super Friends decks or +1/+1 counters or whatever you want to be doing with that. So the reason that we do this is to help people kind of get a feel for what commanders can be built in different directions, because typically there's going to be more than one build path for any given commander. Like we said, Atrax is very famous for this. So we wanted to help kind of parse everything down and filter out some of the noise for what you might be looking when you're trying to consider any given commander.
And what the themes specifically measure is if a deck that we've received data for meets a certain threshold, then it will be marked as meeting that particular theme. For example, if there is a high enough percentage of equipment in any given deck that we receive the data for, then it will register as an equipment theme. And like Matt said, you can then click on that theme or go to the actual page itself on EDH Rec and use that to find the different commanders that specifically fit within that niche for that commander as opposed to the more general strategy. So that is how we can measure it when the decks actually meet a certain threshold or percentage within the deck for cards that care about that particular type of theme.
Basically, you want to ask if there's a correlation between a commander's versatility and its popularity, which is different than what we did in episode 103 and 104, where we discussed the most and least unique commanders from each color pair, aka the commanders that shared a lot of cards in common with other commanders.
Yeah, absolutely. So that'll be our goal for this episode. But real quick, before we actually get to the results that we found when we were looking at the most versatile commanders, we should mention sort of how this will be measured. It's just something that we should probably note, because basically, as we go, when we do have really popular commanders, that kind of means that innately we have more abilities to measure them for themes. There are more chances that the decks that the data that we have there could meet any one of those given themes. So that is why we're interested in measuring the correlation between popularity and versatility there. And another thing, too, to note here is that the way that we're measuring might actually be affecting the results that we get. Our measuring stick here could affect the way that we see the data. If, for example, we have a lot of themes that maybe overlap, for example, a distinction between lands decks and landfall decks, which is a theme distinction that we make, although it is a pretty small one, some folks might sort of view that as just sort of one umbrella instead of two separate categories. So that is something that we should note here. The number of categories that we have for anything might affect the results that we get, but still, we've constructed these theme pages based on the requests that we've seen from folks and also the things that we most frequently see in the data, so we're hoping that they will still be accurate. And as it turns out, the information was still pretty interesting too. So I think we should probably start taking a look at it. Yeah.
So one thing that we probably do need to say before we get into it is that the most versatile commanders that we found typically are going to be five color. There's just more access to colors, but that's not really interesting. We want to show people, you know, with a little restriction, what are the most interesting and most versatile decks that you can be playing. So that's what we wanted to do. And we'll break them down by color combination for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't want to spend the entire episode just talking about five color decks, which can go in infinite directions. Let's go by color combination instead.
So we'll start with mono white, and the most versatile commander in mono white is Elesh Norn Grand Cenobite with seven different themes. And the most common theme here is life gain, which has 18 different decks. I think my guess here, and I'm gonna bet this repeats itself as we go on this list, Elesh Norn is a powerful card that doesn't necessarily demand you do anything specific with it as your commander. It's just always useful. As a result, it makes a pretty good placeholder, kind of. That isn't the right word, but like if you're going to use a commander for some theme that doesn't have something that lends itself to doing that, why not run a really good, strong commander that's always going to be useful? And that's Elesh Norn.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned that the most popular theme among all of the mono white commanders was life gain. We had 18 different commanders that registered in the life gain theme. That, I think, is something that I expect to see a lot within mono white, but doesn't seem to necessarily fit Elesh Norn.
No, it's kind of going right against it. I mean, you can certainly play some life gain effects in Elesh Norn, and they'll be very powerful because Elesh Norn is pretty good, you might say, at making your army that you've created a little more powerful to gain more life. But Elesh Norn, yeah, it's just a very, very powerful legendary creature, so it's not really surprising that they take Elesh Norn in several different directions.
Yeah, absolutely. It is just kind of interesting to see that sometimes the most popular theme for a color won't necessarily be a theme that is always shared by the most versatile commander there. I don't know, just a cool observation. Maybe I should stop making observations before we've actually gotten to all of this data, though. I'm just really excited to see all of the results, guys. But let's actually look at the data first. So sorry for interrupting.
Well, it's funny that you're making observations, which is a very blue thing to do. And so let's just go into blue then. The most versatile commander, as far as having the most themes, this also just happens to be the most popular commander in blue, and that is Urza, Lord High Artificer. And for those of you who don't remember, because Urza is just oh so good, in case you need a refresher, Urza makes that construct token when he comes in the battlefield, but he also has the ability to make all of your artifacts on the battlefield tap for a blue mana, and then you can pay five and exile the top card of your library, and you play that for free. So pretty good commander right there, just another kind of like Elesh Norn, generically powerful, but also fairly versatile, as we find out. There's 8 different themes that we see on Urza. Typically, you know, you're going to see the artifacts, as you might have expected, but also there's a lot of storm and combo decks there. People actually apparently play a lot of equipment. They'll play an equipment themed deck because you can tap those equipments for mana with Urza on the battlefield. Seems like a pretty powerful synergy. And then the most common theme that we see in mono blue is going to be wheel decks, as far as using windfall type cards to discard your hand, draw all sorts more cards. So that's what we see with 15 decks typically coming in with wheels in mono blue.
That is not the most popular theme that I expected for mono blue. I really expected that it would be more along the line of artifacts. And I will actually like register my surprise that Urza shows up as a... I expected him to be a bit more streamlined, I guess. Like, I thought that, you know, he's really all about the artifacts and the storm, and I don't think of too many other things, but it looks like he's actually the most versatile and not necessarily the most streamlined.
Well, if I told you that one of the themes showing up on Urza's page was Eldrazi Tribal, would you believe me? Because you probably
would believe
should.
That. Yeah, that makes sense, actually.
Well, and the thing about Urza, I'm surprised to see that as well, that it isn't an artifact commander primarily, but there's a lot of competition in mono blue for commanders that would care about artifacts. So I wonder if that isn't part of it too. People, you know, already had their mono blue or artifact deck with, you know, Arkham Dagson or something, and this just let them build something different in that color without having to repeat a theme.
Gotcha. Let's move on now from blue, which is it's an okay color, but the best color is definitely black. And I want to talk about this one because the same thing that we see in mono blue is also true for mono black. Kirik, Son of Yawgmoth, is the most popular current mono black commander and also the most versatile. There are 15 different themes available for Kirik, Son of Yawgmoth, including stuff like life gain and, funny enough, Shadowborn Apostles, which sound like a lot of fun to pay for no mana and just 2 life instead. But yeah, that's just a really cool correlation to see there. He has 15 themes available to him. And then hilariously, y'all, this is pretty cool. The most popular theme that we found among mono black decks was the Aristocrats theme. 28 different mono black commanders register as having Aristocrats. They meet that particular threshold. So I think that might be why I like mono black, because you know that Joey likes sacrificing creatures for value.
Yeah, seeing that many Aristocrats-style decks show up among different commanders is not surprising at all, because that's exactly what Mono Black is the best at, is just sacrificing all sorts of creatures, getting all sorts of value. It's not surprising at all to see that showing up so often.
Indeed. All right, let's move to red.
Red, we have 4 different commanders tied with 6 themes each. There's Torbran, there's Neheb the Eternal, there's the Chandra from Origins, and there's Ashling the Pilgrim. Those are all 6 theme commanders, and the most common theme in mono red is artifacts, with 24 different themes scattered among all those commanders.
Hilariously, artifacts, not a thing I associate with any of the commanders that you just mentioned.
Yeah, not at all. I don't really quite know what to make of this one particularly. I wonder if it isn't just that goblins are such a popular theme, but it's scattered among multiple commanders. I'm not sure how to explain this one at all.
Well, and for me, it's weird that there's so many artifact commanders, because I can think of like 3 or 4 maybe, but seeing that there's 24 different mono red commanders that have enough to have an artifacts theme page, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, and it might play into the ways that this particular monocolor decides to invest itself in ramp, and then there are just a handful of other synergies, and that small handful can make any deck builder maybe lean a little bit in that direction and then lean a little bit more in that direction. So that might also almost accidentally play into it, that it happens maybe not even consciously, that it is maybe almost accidental, that they sort of drift towards that particular theme just as a result of their ramp, and then other small synergies available to that color too might sort of get that ball in motion maybe.
But those are all commanders, particularly Torbran, Neheb, and Ashling, that are just generally good regardless of what other cards you have in the deck. Like, they don't care what you build, they are going to be useful.
Absolutely.
Well, we talked about a couple surprises, things that we didn't expect to see. The next color, there's no surprises at all. So we're going to go to mono green. So with 6 themes each, we have 2 commanders tied. The first is going to be Galta Primal Hunger. That's the big 12-12 dinosaur that gets cheaper based on the power of creatures that you have on the battlefield. But also tied with Grun the Lonely King. That's the uncommon ape warrior legend from Dominaria. So it's interesting to see both of those showing up so much. What's not really surprising at all, though, is that the most common theme that we're seeing is +1/+1 counters decks, where there's 10 different commanders that have a +1/+1 theme on their page.
Yeah, Mono Green loves the counters. There are tons of Mono Green commanders that love that, including Grun, like you just mentioned, because Grun can power up and maybe start using those counters a little bit more. And particularly this point here is where I see, oh, Grun the Lonely King is showing as one of the most versatile commanders with the most number of themes in Mono Green. That is not a popular commander at all. So that especially really sets my observations that I keep interrupting us all with. But that really makes me like, ah, yeah, I don't think that popularity and versatility are always connected based off of some results like this.
Grun especially makes me think that. Galta didn't surprise me at all, but yeah, Grun seems like a really surprising choice to be atop almost any deck you're going to make in green, let alone six different themes.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move out of monocolor now, though, and get started on some two-color pairings.
We will first talk about the Azorius color pairing, and there are two commanders that are sitting at eight themes each. We have Brago King Eternal and Grand Arbiter Augustine the Fourth.
Oof.
That's both of which are really, really strong decks to play against.
Indeed.
I would not have probably guessed either would be considered versatile commanders in terms of having much different themes, but they are clearly, they're both the standouts here, although Brago is also, I believe, the most popular of the Azorius commanders.
Mm-hmm.
And the theme that Azorius is leaning into here with these commanders is flying, basically, with eight different commanders with flying as a theme.
I mean, you shouldn't be surprised to see Brago so popular with so many different themes, because there's Flicker Moldrifter decks, there's Flicker Mana Rock decks, there's Flicker...
Right. Fair point.
Yeah, you can Flicker all sorts of different things. That's a different theme, of course.
Right, and to be fair, that's also true with Grand Arbiter. You can have, like, the Make the Table Hate You deck, or the one where the table's miserable deck, or the one where the table scoops and goes home deck. So, like, there's some variety there as well.
Oh. There's the Make Dana Grumpy deck. Right. That one.
Well, you know what? Dana deserves to be grumpy, because when he was plugging our sponsors earlier, he was talking about graveyard hate. So let's make Dana grumpy instead of me, because, man, I miss my graveyards. Anyway, let's move on now to... we're talking about Dimir, which means we're also talking about a little bit of graveyards, because the most versatile commander in the Dimir color combination is the Scarab God. There are 10 different themes available to this blue and black commander. As a reminder, the Scarab God is the awesome commander who can make copies, make tokens out of the creatures that wind up in graveyards. It is really cool. And it also makes your opponents lose life equal to the number of zombies you have, and the tokens that it makes are zombies, and it's hard to kill. This thing is just beautiful. I've been very tempted to build a Scarab God in a lot of ways. Can you tell that I really like it? It says graveyard on it. Of course, I love it. There are 10 different themes available to this one, and probably no surprise whatsoever is that the most common theme that we find among the Dimir color combination for all of its commanders, there are 15 different Dimir commanders that show up as a mill theme. 15 of them. And for the record, that is distinct from the self-mill theme. So it's not just like the self-mill cards. It's definitely like they're trying to mill out other players. Those types of cards. We got 15 Dimir commanders that focus on that strategy.
I mean, I feel like when in doubt, if you just want a commander atop your deck and it maybe doesn't have the ability you need, there's way worse things you can do than have your commander be indestructible.
That's true.
It's not quite indestructible, but it's like it comes back really easy, and like it's
true.
It may not be indestructible, but it is very hard to kill. But it's also, yeah, like you kind of touched on, Joey, there's zombies, there's tokens, there's all sorts of different things you can do with Scarab God. So seeing 10 different themes, I can imagine that it's not really that surprising.
Yeah, and it is distinct from the most common commander, the most popular commander in that color combination is Yuriko, who's a lot more streamlined and really focuses on Ninja Tribal. So that is definitely something to note there. Let's stop lingering on Dimir, though. Let's get on to Rakdos.
So the next commander that we have here is interesting because it is still Rakdos and still talking about graveyards. It's Grenzo Dungeon Warden, which is X and Rakdos colors for the Goblin Rogue. He comes in the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters, but what people really care about is how you can pay 2 mana and put the bottom card of your library into the graveyard, and then if it's a creature that's small enough or Grenzo's big enough, you can put it onto the battlefield. So this comes in with actually a decent amount. There's 9 different themes for Grenzo that you're going to see on there. And then the most common theme that we see in Rakdos in general is going to be discarding decks. So making you discard all the cards with painful quandary types of effects. I'm sure they're a lot of fun to play against. So what do you guys think about seeing these two different options?
Grenzo feels, again, like a very streamlined deck to me.
Yeah.
But can't argue with the data.
Right. I would never have guessed that it was Grenzo.
Well, and it's interesting because some of those themes that we see, obviously we have Goblin Tribal. There's Aristocrats because you're in black-red, but then you also see Relentless Rats and Rat Colony decks.
That's clever.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. And then, you know, there's the Sacrifice Matters types of decks too. So there are some actually cool themes going on with Grenzo that I honestly didn't expect to see.
Although, again, I would say that Grenzo is probably generally a card that generates value for you regardless of what your deck is doing. As long as it has creatures, it's going to do something. So it does, you know, make a little bit of sense, I guess, if you think about it.
Yeah, but also rats.
Very true. Well, up next here, we are going to be taking a look at the Gruul Guild, and Xenagos, God of Revels, is the most diverse commander here with 9 different themes. Xenagos is basically your big stompy commander that makes your big stompy things bigger and stompier, I think that's how you would phrase it, technically speaking, using the rules of Magic. Indestructible. Hey, you can't go wrong. As I said a little bit earlier, this one is actually indestructible. It's a versatile card. Again, if you are playing creatures, which you tend to do in a red-green deck, this is almost always going to be valuable and useful. And the themes here, there's things like extra combat, like Werewolf Tribal, like Infect or Hydras or Dragons. There's just a lot of different stompy things you can do with this commander. And this is one I'm not at all surprised to see atop a bunch of different themes.
Yeah, for sure. Most popular theme that we're most frequently seeing for Gruul commanders. We've got 7 different Lands Matters commanders that show up in themes in Gruul. So really diverse color combination, even though we often associate it with just being very, very stompy.
So the next up, I know Joey spread some propaganda about playing Mono Black. I'm going to talk some propaganda about playing Selesnya. So the most versatile, diverse, whatever you want to say, commander that we have in Selesnya is going to be Sylvala Explorer Returned. That's the one with the parlay ability where lots of things happen and there's lots of things going on with this commander. And then unexpectedly, 14 token decks is what we're seeing as far as the most common theme among Selesnya commanders. It's interesting to see Sylvala on there. There's a lot of different themes that don't do anything overlapping. There's Elf Tribal, there's Group Hug also, Angel Tribal, Enchantress decks also make their way onto Sylvala decks. It's actually kind of cool to see so many different things going on there.
Yeah, a lot of stuff that you can do with Sylvala. Usually I associate her abilities with being a little bit group huggy, but there's definitely a lot of stuff that you can do with a commander who gives you a bunch of mana and also gives you a bunch of life. And I think there's even some combo things that you're able to do with that commander. So definitely watch out for her. Matt, I know that you're talking about propaganda, but I want to move back to not mono black, but at least a black inclusive color combination, because I'm going to move into Orzhov now. Orzhov is really great because Athreos, God of Passage, is our most versatile Orzhov commander. Shows up with 12 different themes available to it. Most famously, the Shadowborn Apostles theme definitely shows up, but there's also a lot of Aristocrats and other life gain and some other tribes that you can focus on here. Really cool commander that you can do a whole lot with. And then really fun here too, Orzhov as a color combination, no surprise, the most common theme that we're finding in the Orzhov color combination. There are 19 different commanders that register a life gain theme, things that black and white are really good at.
Yeah, and again, Athreos, indestructible commander, you could do way worse when you just want something useful to provide you with black and white colors for whatever theme you want to do that doesn't have another obvious choice.
There you go.
And the same thing is true with our next color pair, the Izzet League. The two commanders here, we have Joyra, Weatherlight Captain, and Karanos, God of Storms, both with 10 different themes. The most prominent theme in Izzet colors is Spellslinger, which you could very easily do with either of those commanders, but they both lend themselves well to a lot of different things. Joyra, who draws you cards when you cast a historic spell, you know, there's artifact decks under Joyra, and Cheerios, and Storm, and Super Friends even. So it's a commander that just lets you build whatever way you want to build it, and it's always going to generate value. Mm-hmm. And the same is very much true of Karanos. She's a big beater who allows you to do damage to people every turn and is tough to remove.
Well, and having the Spellslinger theme there, I think Izzet is probably the best color pair for Spellslinger type decks. So seeing that as the most common theme among all commanders, that is totally what we expected to see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. And then the next one is Golgari, and there's no surprises here. The most popular commander is Marin of Clan Nal'Toth, and she's also the most versatile. She has 12 different themes available to her. I keep on getting these commanders. I keep on claiming the ones here in our show notes. I keep on talking about the ones that have aristocrats and sacrifice themes available to them. It's almost like I have a type. I don't know. But there's also a bunch of other cool stuff that you can do with her, including some self-mill or other rat colony and other just random reanimator things available to her. The most common theme that we see among graveyard commanders, there are 10 different Golgari commanders that register the graveyard theme. So basically what I'm saying is that this is the best color combination and everyone should play it.
We've heard you say that before, I think. so that's a familiar refrain.
Well, what also will be familiar to Joey is one of the next commanders that we talk about. So we're going to move on to the Boros color pairing. So we have a tie again. So we have two different commanders that are tied with 8 different themes showing up on their page. The first one is going to be his main gal, Feather the Redeemed, which is the flying legendary angel that gets instants and sorceries back that you target your own creatures with. And we also see a lot of Erois God of Victory type of different theme decks. And another one that's just that Theros God, very, very large, very, very indestructible, and makes combat hard to navigate. We see a little bit of overlap. There's a lot of equipment style decks because Boros just naturally is very good at that. But we also see that as the most common theme as well. So there's 14 different commanders that tend to have equipment on their themes section.
Up next here, we have the Simic color pair, two very complementary colors. Green has a ton of awesome cards, and that really makes up for the fact that blue has a bunch of awesome cards as well. So it really kind of works nicely together. The most thematic commander here with the most diverse array of different themes is Tatiova, Benthic Druid, who is also the most popular. Talking about commanders that are really useful in a situation, every deck wants to play lands, and you're in green, which has the ability to play extra lands, which you're almost always going to be doing, and it rewards you for doing that. So basically, any kind of theme you want to build in Simic, Tatiova is going to reward you for just playing Magic. And that's a logical commander to then wind up being very, very diverse and popular in that color pair.
Well, playing lands is really hard, Dana. We need good rewards for that. We need to draw.
You can't even respond to them.
You can't blow them up with a Bajuka Bog or a Scavenger Ground. That's a very good point.
Dana, stop mentioning those cards. And a cool thing among the Simic commanders, while Tatiova is definitely famous for the lands, the most common Simic theme that we see is definitely +1/+1 counters, which a whole bunch of different commanders in Simic really lean into, from Vorel of the Hulklade to Pyr and Toothy. And 17 different Simic commanders show up with that particular theme. So, there's... Is Simic versatile? I don't know. I guess it keeps on doing a lot of the a lot of them draw cards and plus one counters, and I don't know. I'm having a fun Simic moment, I guess.
Well, you can't make up your mind about how good you want to be and how versatile you want to be. So I get it.
I'm worried about us. I'm like, ooh, Simic is too much good stuff, and I'm like, I don't want to sound bitter about that. But I do see Tatiova, and I'm like, that thing's an uncommon, and it does make me scratch my head just a little bit. Anyway, let's move now into a brief break from just talking about all of these. Let's move into some challenging of the stats, because sometimes we don't agree with the data that we see on EDH Rec. We think that cards see too little play or see too much play. So what we're gonna do is challenge those statistics. Let's get to it. Dana, what is your challenge this week?
First up is a card that is not that old, shockingly enough, although it's still pretty old. Snake Cult Initiation.
How do you always name cards I've never heard of?
Way back in the Time Spiral block. It's not, it's got a modern frame on it. It's an aura for 4 mana, 3 and a black. Enchant creature. Enchanted creature has poisonous 3. And what Poisonous 3 is basically the poison counter generation. It was a mechanic, a variant on creatures that poison from way back in the day, but before we got Infect. And whenever a creature deals combat damage to a player, the player gets 3 poison counters. It's only in 203 decks right now, and I think the place it should see more play is in an Infect deck where your commander or other cards in the deck don't have Infect. I think if you're running a bunch of, like, all the Infect creatures, it probably doesn't do you any good because you're better off just running, like, a giant growth effect or something, something where you can do additional damage because Infect will just stack with additional damage. But if you're playing in a deck where your commander doesn't have Infect, like Hapatra, for example, this is a way to also give your commander Infect. And if you have additional cards in the deck that give your commander the actual true Infect, this stacks with Infect. Like, Infect doesn't stack with itself. This can go on to something with Infect as well if you need to. So it should be, I think, in more than 200 decks. There's a lot of Infect themes out there and a lot that are running non-Infect creatures or have commanders that don't have Infect. Snake Cut Initiation should be in more decks. And I think people don't know it exists because they do a search for Infect and not for Poison.
All right, Dana, since you are talking about weird, obscure cards that only show up in 200 decks, I'm going to try and one-up you here because I've also got a weird, obscure card that only shows up in about 200 decks. I'm actually kind of stealing this from my Upping the Average series that you can find on our YouTube channel, where we take the average deck from any given commander and make some quick swaps to it to take its average deck list and make it above average. The card that I'm looking at here is the card Trickery Charm. This is a one-mana instant that Yuriko, the Tiger Shadow, needs to be playing yesterday. This instant allows you to either give a creature flying, aka evasion, for your ninjas, or you can change a creature's type until the end of the turn, so you can make one of your unblockable creatures that isn't a ninja into a ninja, so Yuriko can help it get some more triggers, or you can look at the top four cards of your library with this spell and put them back in any order, so you can stack the top of the deck for Yuriko to flip over a really big card that will deal a lot of damage to your opponents. This only shows up in 207 decks total, and only in about 3% of all Yuriko lists, and that is not okay. It needs to change. This is a really good card for Yuriko.
Yeah, I mean, being able to do any of those three different modes are going to be a good payoff. So yeah, probably worth investing a little bit in.
Yeah. How often is it that you see a charm that is this specifically tailored to a specific commander? This one, chef's kiss. Absolutely love it. Matt, how about your challenge?
So my challenge, I decided I'm going to humor Dana. I'm going to pick an old obscure card that nobody's ever heard of. It's only being played in about 400 decks. So Custody Battle is the card we're going to talk about today. And I like it specifically. There's 192,000 decks playing red. Only 400 of them are playing this card. But I just want to talk specifically about land destruction type decks. So Custody Battle is one in a red for an enchantment, or an aura, I should say now. And it says, enchanted creature has at the beginning of your upkeep, target opponent gains control of this creature unless you sacrifice a land. So if you're playing one of those real grindy style decks, you're trying to manage all the resources everybody else has, and they may not necessarily always have lands to play, this is a good way to either steal a creature or just get a creature away from an opponent. It's kind of hard to attack with a Blight Steal if somebody else has that Blight Steal. So it's a pretty interesting card. I don't like it in every deck. I'm not saying this should be widespread, but if you're playing land destruction specifically, you can blow up lands, play this, and then they're not going to have a chance to play a land before then, so you can just make sure they get rid of their best creature. It's interesting, and I like its prospects, especially for something that's, you know, a quarter and back from Onslaught days.
Custody Battle is also what we call it when Dana is flipping back and forth between this podcast and his other podcast, CMDR Central.
It is my favorite Custody Battle, fighting with Commander or CMDR Max over Dana, who gets him on weekends. It is pretty fun.
Yeah, that's the real challenge right there. That's the real challenge.
I'm just trying to picture Joey and Matt building like me an IKEA bunk bed so I have some place to stay.
All right, let's get back into our main topic, taking a look again at the numbers for the most diverse commanders. We talked about some two-color and some mono-color commanders, but let's get now into some three-color combinations. We won't be discussing the four-color combinations because partner data kind of mucks with this particular report that we're drawing, and it's just like Atraxa is going to win, and we all know it. So let's move now to the three-color commanders. What do we got with the diverse commanders that we're seeing here?
We will start looking at the three-color Esper combo, black, white, blue, and the most diverse commander here is Xur the Enchanter, looking at themes like enchantments, auras, cycling, discard, persistent petitioners, even like curses and stacks. There's a good array here, 16 different themes showing up for Xur. And the most common theme in this color array is artifacts, 8 different commanders here.
Yeah, artifacts is really what I associate with Esper, and maybe that's just because of how cool the Shards of Alara set actually was. But Xur doesn't probably need to do any artifacts for him to do all of the nasty things that he can do.
I mean, no matter what your deck is doing, being able to go grab Necropotence or something out of your library every time you cast your commander is just always going to be good. So, very useful.
Yeah. Yeah, very useful indeed.
Yeah, well, speaking of just always being good, let's move on to our Grixis commander, who happens to be not only the most diverse commander, but the most built commander in Grixis colors, and that is Kes Dissident Mage. That's the one that lets you cast a spell out of your graveyard, instant or sorcery, I should be specific, once per turn. So we're seeing actually a whopping 21 different themes on Kes's page. That is huge. And that's something that we're going to see now that we have access to 3 colors with all of the legends we talk about. And then the most common theme that we see among Grixis commanders shouldn't be too surprising. It's going to be discard effects. And I'm sure there's a lot of overlap there with wheels. You have Nekusar, who loves to wheel. So yeah, 10 discard commanders along with 21 different themes for Kes.
Yeah, and that's actually something that even Kes herself might be able to play into, because if you've made everyone discard their hands and then you can play spells out of your graveyard, that is a way of getting taking advantage of the parity that the discard effects might have. So even spell slingery type of commanders can still take advantage of the most popular Grixis theme. That's pretty mean. Maybe I'll build a Kes deck. No, I shouldn't. I'm going to move on now to Jund. We are talking about the most diverse Jund commander is Korvold, the Fey Cursed King. There are 11 different themes that Korvold has available to him. And obviously, the most common one is going to be a very dedicated sacrifice theme. But there's also a lot of folks who play him as a lands or a goblin tribal commander, which I think is pretty interesting. Sacrifice is, by the way, the most common theme that we see for Jund different commanders. There are 9 different Jund commanders that have sacrifice as one of their main themes there too. So Korvold, Jund, sacrifice, all stuff that Joey likes and all stuff that Jund players likes, and Korvold just wants to eat everyone, and it's all copacetic.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing really surprising to see Korvold atop a whole bunch of different decks, just given how powerful the card is, that this one definitely isn't at all surprising.
Yeah, there's almost like maybe we should have like, ooh, it's not necessarily always about popularity, but sometimes it is just about power of a thing might also be something that affects a commander's diversity for sure.
Absolutely. Jumping over to the Naya colors here, we have 2 commanders, once again, tied with 11 themes each. Marisi, Breaker of the Coil, and Samut. We're looking at Marisi's a little surprising, although I guess when you really think about it and look at the card, it really shouldn't be. It is a cat, so we have cat tribal here. It does force combat, so you have force combat as a theme. There's a lot of equipment stuff in cats as well. So that Marisi, once I actually saw that number and looked at it, it really wasn't that surprising. And then Samut just is keyword soup, and generally a strong aggressive commander anyway. There's just a lot of themes for Marisi, and Samut just is going to work well no matter what you do.
Well, and seeing too that the most common theme that we see among different Naya commanders is tokens, since we saw that at the head of all the Selesnya commanders, those colors just naturally are very, very good at producing tokens. So I think we kind of expected to see that there. One thing that we're going to move on to, and also is probably, let's be honest, probably a good token commander too, is Chulainn. That is the most versatile commander of all the Bant commanders, and pretty much everything that we said about Korvold, you can apply to Chulainn, because whenever you put draw a card as part of a payoff, it's just going to get a lot of play. It's one of the most popular commanders of all time, very close behind Arcades as far as most popular Bant commander in general. But we tend to see a lot of Enchantress decks, and that is going to be 11 different commanders that we see have enchantment-themed decks on their pages. And yeah, it's interesting to see that, because I would have expected something, you know, +1/+1 counters is very, very popular in Simic and with Selesnya decks. What do you guys think about these numbers that we're seeing here?
Enchantments, I feel like they're the particular Commander 2018 product with Tuvasa and with the other Enchantress commanders available there. That really, I think, helped out numbers. I think folks have been really hungry for Bant Chantress to sort of become a thing for a while. What I am really surprised by is that Chulainn has 23 different themes on that page, whereas the most popular Bant commander, Arcades, only has 3. That is a really, really big distinction in my head.
We have said multiple times that almost any deck you run in Bant is going to be better with Chulainn as your commander. And the 23 themes seem to kind of prove that out.
Yeah, it's true, though. I mean, you see so many different diverse themes. It's not just that, you know, everybody's doing one thing, but you see tribal decks, you see Storm, you see Hate Bears, you see all sorts of different stuff going on. It's actually kind of cool. There's even enchantments and auras that are getting played in Chulainn decks. So it's true, like, we can rag on Chulainn, but it also, at the same time, it's just a very, very powerful commander.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Let's move now to Obzon.
Obzon, here we have the black, white, green color Triome. I guess that's the land, but that's what I'm going to go with here anyway. Caridor Ghost Chieftain is the most diverse commander here with 17 different themes. Things like Sacrifice or Aristocrats, the obvious Graveyard Synergy, or even some Spirit Tribal. This is one that I actually probably would have guessed, in part because I've seen in real life play a whole bunch of weird different Caridor decks for whatever reason. I've seen all the ones I mentioned. I've seen Caridor Enchantress. It's just a commander that, for whatever reason, people want to build as their commander atop a theme that nothing else in the color group does. And not only do our numbers show that out, my personal experiences just show me there's a whole bunch of weird Caridor decks out there.
Bringing stuff back from the graveyard is really good. I keep saying it. I'm becoming a broken record on this episode. I'm sorry, but it's really, really good. And there's a lot of stuff that you can do with it. And it's really, really fun. I find it kind of interesting that the most common theme that we see among the Obzon commanders is actually pod. We have a birthing pod theme. And that is something that we see a lot. There are 7 different Obzon commanders that show up with the birthing pod theme that makes it the most common Obzon theme. And I'm just like, oh, that's kind of a strange thing. But also, the birthing pod is a lot of fun. There's so much you can do by sacrificing your creature. So once again, I've become a broken record, and I'm sorry.
Well, that's fine. We'll just move on then. We'll move on to actually 2 commanders that I both have had a deck at any given time. So we're going to move into Jeskai, and we're actually tied between these 2 commanders that have 19 themes each, which is actually pretty impressive seeing 2 commanders in the same colors with so many different themes. But the first one is going to be Kaikar Winds Fury, which is the one in Jeskai colors for the flying burb wizard that makes a lot of spirit tokens whenever you cast non-creature spells. And then there's Narset Enlightened Master, which is 3 in Jeskai to cheat out all the non-creature spells. So it seems, for some reason, Jeskai people like casting non-creature spells but getting creatures for them.
I did not expect to see Narset here. Like, she can cast any non-creature spells, so I should have, in retrospect, probably expected that. But I associate Narset so extremely with the extra turns style deck that can become very lethal very, very quickly that this really took me by surprise.
Well, and also included in, well, actually in Kaikar and Narset's is the most popular theme that we see in Jeskai decks. That is going to be wheel effects and wheel decks. Both of them tend to play it because it's just going to get you more non-creature spells into your hand to cast. Or if you're Narset, you're just casting them for free. And then you're playing all sorts of Planeswalker decks. You can be playing Monk Tribal we see showing up, actually. But then there's also the typical, you know, like you said, extra turns, extra combats, extra things, extra spells, extra, you know, all the extra stuff. So extra.
I'm just so surprised to see a lot of versatility, a lot of themes for commanders that don't bring stuff out of the graveyard. I really can't understand it, but good for them. Absolutely good for them. Speaking of bringing stuff out of the graveyard, man, I really claimed a lot of these in the show notes. I almost want to apologize for it, but now we're talking about the number one commander of all time, Muldrotha the Gravetide. She is so crazy. She can cast spells out of your graveyard, and that gives her the ability to have 31 different themes available on EDHREC. If you want to take her down a +1 counters route, or a self-mill specific route, or you would like to have a Gyruda companion, or you're specifically looking for zombies, there are tons of different builds for Muldrotha. She's actually the 5th place theme commander, the 5th place commander that has the most themes available to her out of all of the commanders on the site. And that's really cool. Graveyards, it's great. Here's something that isn't quite so graveyard, though. The most popular theme for Sultai decks is not actually graveyard related. The most popular theme with 8 different with 8 different Sultai commanders having this theme is Infect, which also probably seems obvious, but I really expected graveyards to be the main pushing strategy for Sultai. So this was a cool thing to see that Sultai is also very good at the infection stuff.
All the more reason to find room for Snake Cult Initiation.
Well done.
So next we'll go over to the Mardu colors. Queen Marchesa is 23 different themes. So that's a pretty big number, and it's not the most popular commander. That's Edgar Markov, but it's one that is very robust in how many different decks can be built using that as a commander. And I've looked at Queen Marchesa a lot of different times over the years and tried to figure out what I could do with her, and the answer is apparently all the things. looking at the list, for looking at things like Stax or Sunforger or Monarch as a theme, or even Human or Knight Tribal, there's just a dizzying array of different themes people have gone with for Queen Marchesa, which makes sense. It's a really interesting card while remaining open-ended that never pointed me in any one direction, but it apparently pointed a lot of people in a lot of different directions.
Absolutely. And I think her versatility there is especially one of her strengths. This can be a very political commander if you want it to be, but also the fact that she doesn't have just one niche makes her all the more powerful with the political trickery that you can pull off in game. Really, really cool. What about the most popular theme that we're seeing among Mardu commanders?
Most popular theme is life gain. And, similar to Mono White and going into Orzhov, those color combinations just like life gain, so it's not really surprising at all to see it here in Mardu as well.
Absolutely. We're going to move now into Temur. The most versatile Temur commander is Animar, Soul of Elements. There are 13 different themes available to Animar. It is actually tied with Maelstrom Wanderer and Riku as well, Riku of Two Reflections. So there's a lot of different stuff that you can do in the Temur color combos for sure. Animar is particularly famous for having a lot of morph stuff that you can do, which also leads into Eldrazi Tribal. So yeah, a lot of versatility, a lot of different ways that you can take this particular commander. But then, hey, another surprise that I don't think I had expected to see this showing up twice on our list here. The most popular theme for the Temur commanders that we've got is also Birthing Pod. I'd really expected something a bit more aggro and smashy, but there are 7 different Temur commanders that have Birthing Pod as one of their themes. So that's cool.
Well, one thing, I know you're kind of shocked to see that. Nobody is going to bat an eye at seeing the most popular theme among colorless commanders. In case I have to tell you, it's artifacts, because I don't know how many other card types you can play other than artifacts and colorless. But we're also seeing Traxos, Scourge of Krug, which is that kind of a historic tribal, I guess, whatever you want to say, type of big old construct, 4 mana for a big 7/7. There's 4 different themes. I'm not really sure how they fit so many themes into a colorless deck, but I mean, you do you, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, artifacts can definitely do a lot of work, so that does help that out.
It's true.
Well, since you just talked about colorless, I will take the 5-color here. 5-color is where we see a huge explosion. We've talked about a lot of commanders that have like 20 themes sometimes, but usually it's like maybe, ooh, they've got like 10 themes on their page. The most versatile commander, not just in 5 colors, but of all of the commanders available to us, is Morophon the Boundless. It's right there in the name. Morophon has 53 different themes that are showing up on that page. It is a lot of different tribal. You've got angel tribal, you've got human tribal, but you've also got a bunch of other non-tribal stuff too, including +1 counters and landfall type of strategies. There's a whole bunch that you can do with this commander.
Well, and all those different themes that you just named off, that's only coming from one deck that we saw. That's not even counting all the other decks. There's plenty of them out there.
That's exactly it. You can stuff all of those into the same Morophon deck if you want to. Absolutely. And while we're talking about 5-color decks, we can also mention 5-color clearly was the most versatile color combination of all of them. And the top most versatile commanders of all of the ones that we have discussed, Morophon was, of course, in first place with 53 themes, a whole lot of tribal going on there. But in second place was Golos with 45 themes. And then third place was Kenrith the Returned King, who had 36 different themes on his page. So 5-color definitely gives you a lot of different options if that's what you're looking for.
Well, and one interesting observation that we noticed as well, of all the different color combinations that we measured, we were kind of wondering if there was kind of an overlap between the most popular commander also being the most versatile as far as having the most themes. And we found out that only 9 of the 27 different color combinations had the most popular commander as the most versatile commander as well, which is only a third of the time. So it's actually kind of interesting to see that kind of rise out among all the different decks, all the different commanders that we have at our arsenal.
Yeah, that is, I think, one of the most important takeaways for me out of this episode is that I thought that it might be closer to 50% or even be above half. But no, it turns out not to be. It is a 33% correlation there. The most popular doesn't necessarily mean that it will always be the thing that has the most directions too. That is certainly a big ingredient for a commander's appeal, but they don't have a direct correlation to one another, which is really, really cool to see.
So do these results match up with the least unique commanders from episode 104? They do not. Only like two matches from this list, Korvald and Queen Marchesa, were both the most diverse and the least unique commanders. So diverse commanders don't necessarily share a lot of cards in common with other commanders of their same color combination.
Yeah, which is a really cool thing to see there as well. And actually, here's a fun plot twist. I expected personally that Atraxa might be like in the top 10 most diverse commanders of all time because you can do the proliferating with the planeswalkers or the plus one counters or the infect. I just associate Atraxa in my head with being like the most diverse commander. And it turns out she was like number 14. She wasn't even in the top 10. And in fact, she's not even the most diverse four-color commander. That title goes to Saskia, the unyielding, the double damage-y sort of commander who has 27 different themes as opposed to Atraxa's 21. So a lot of surprises here, definitely, in this episode. And ultimately, I just think it's really cool to sort of note that the commanders with the greatest versatility are certainly commanders that have a lot of appeal, but the most popular commanders are not the most diverse. That is a correlation, but not the end-all be-all. And that's just a really cool observation to take away from looking through all of this stuff for sure.
Well, and one thing that we kind of stated as we worked through was, you know, the more colors that you have access to, the more options you're going to have to, as far as directions to take the deck in. So that's something that I kind of noticed as we were going, but I don't think that really should surprise anyone because, you know, you can fit more different things. Like it's hard to do life gain in mono red, but when you add it to a Mardu deck, for example, then you get a lot of life gain options that we saw that, you know, you have coming from mono white or Orzhov decks or what have you. So having more colors obviously will open you up to more possibilities, but that isn't always definitive because there's, you know, always going to be exceptions to those rules.
And especially the most important lesson is that sacrifice is the best of all of the themes. And so on that note, I think what we need to do is call this episode to a close. Thank you guys so much for joining me. And if any of our listeners would like to get in touch with us, where can they find you all? Matt?
So you can find me on the Twitters at Mathimus55, that's MathimusFifty-Five. You can catch us Wednesday nights as well, twitch.tv/EDHRecCast.
And Dana.
You can find me on the Twitterbirds at Dana Roach. You can read my articles at EDH Rec a couple times a month, most Wednesdays. And you can hear me on my other podcast, CMDR Central, usually twice a week.
Usually, but, you know, custody battle.
Exactly.
And I'm Joey Schultz. You can find me at Joseph M. Schultz on Twitter. You can follow the cast at EDH RecCast on Facebook and on Twitter. And if you have a question, a keen insight to EDH Rec's data, or maybe a fun challenge to stats pick that you think that folks ought to know about, you can email us at EDHRecCast@gmail.com. Our thanks again to Josh Lequai and the entire team at the Command Zone who handled the post-production work on the podcast. And of course, our huge thanks to our sponsors for the show, TCG Player and CardKingdom.com. You can find them using the price info links on EDHREC or by visiting CardKingdom.com/EDHREC to show your support for the show. Listeners, what do you think about the most versatile commanders and which of these theme pages is your favorite? Please let us know. We will be back at you next week with more data and insights. But until then, remember, EDHREC your deck before you wreck your deck.